The opinions expressed in this show are the views of the host and not necessarily that of WTRW, 94.3 The Talker, or the Bold Gold Media Group.
The following presentation is paid for by Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate, who is solely responsible for its content. Portions transcribed.
All Century 21 real estate offices are independently owned and operated.
Hi, I'm Jackie Ruddy, broker of Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate. Welcome to the Real Estate Roundtable on 94.3 FM The Talker. I'm here with my husband, co-host, fellow realtor, Pat Devaney.
Good morning, Jackie.
How are you?
Oh, I'm good. How are you? I'm doing well. How are you?
Fine.
Oh, you're doing fine?
Fine. How about that? No, I'm doing really well. Thank you. We're here with attorney Michelle O'Brien. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for being here with us.
Thanks for having me.
Sure. We're here every Saturday at 11 a.m., Sunday at 11:30 a.m., where we talk about things that matter to homeowners, sellers, and buyers. We have a full-time real estate office with many experienced realtors who've been listing, selling, and appraising real estate for over 50 years.
During the week, feel free to email us with any questions you have at questions@jruddy.com. That's questions@jruddy.com, or you can give us a call at 570-344-6724. And when you go to jruddy.com, click on the webcam tab. We have a live view at Dunmore Corners 24/7. You never know what you're going to see.
And I'd like to say I'm very proud that we are a quality service award-winning office with Century 21. Not easy to accomplish, yet we do continuously throughout the years receive that award. View our listings, search the MLS listings, and listen to archive radio shows by going to mobilefriendlyjruddy.com. And also on jruddy.com on the radio tab, check out the podcast apps that we feature the radio show on. And don't forget to check us out on social media. Okay, attorney Michelle O'Brien, please tell me about what you do every day of your life.
Sure. I am the owner of the O'Brien Law Group. I'm an attorney. I practice in the areas of real estate and corporate and commercial lending and oil and gas law, mostly in northeastern Pennsylvania, but throughout Pennsylvania as well. And I also own Pinnacle Abstract, which is a title company. We are located on Kaiser Avenue in Taylor. And that pretty much takes up all of my time.
Right. I know. You do a lot. And you're
good. We got a lot of good feedback about the show you did about reassessments.
Oh, great.
You're a friend of mine, America Romero, was listening. And he goes, oh, yeah, that was a really good show. So,
oh, I'm glad it was helpful.
Yes.
And we did the two on gas leases.
Yes.
Yeah. And that was overdue. That was an overdue topic. So you shed a lot of good light on both topics. And we appreciate those shows and
Absolutely.
Your time. So, but today I want to talk about something that's really troublesome, and some of our listeners may not know about it. Some may, but I've been seeing more frequently, sometimes, you know, several times a week, real estate deed fraud is on the rise.
Absolutely.
And in our area.
Yes, in our area. Absolutely.
That's frightening.
Very.
That's frightening.
What is deed fraud in plain language?
Right. So a lot of times you will hear or see maybe on social media ads for how to protect your property, how to not get your property stolen out from under you. We see newspaper articles about it all the time. What deed fraud is when someone kind of targets your property, rather that's residential or vacant land, it's often vacant land, or even a rental property, very rarely a commercial property, but they target you and can get a deed through the whole recording process, which is how we identify who actually owns a piece of property, and they can get a deed recorded by fraudulently, you know, signing your name, having a fraudulent notary, and then getting it recorded. And it may not be a fraudulent notary. It may be a fraudulent ID that the person uses to present to the notary, because fraudulent IDs are very hard to recognize these days. There are a few tricks, but they are very hard to recognize generally. So what happens is you don't even know your property has changed hands until some other event happens. You go to sell your property and you find out you don't own it anymore. Someone tries to build on your vacant land and you find out somehow. There's all sorts of different ways that people find out about this, but basically it's stealing your property out from under you because nobody is monitoring their own land, you know, their filings in the land records at the county. Generally, there is most counties, I believe, in Pennsylvania do have a service that they provide. If you go on your county's recorder of deeds website, they usually will have a sign up. They call it different things, but they have a sign up where you can be notified if there is ever a deed recorded using your name. So unfortunately, the deed would already be recorded in that at that time, but you will get a whiff of it sooner than if you went to go sell your property and you found out somebody bought, you know, somebody fraudulently bought your property 5 years previously.
Right. So it's after the fact. It's already done. But like you said, timing could matter there. And so things like we've received mail at where the warranty on our deed has expired. You know, so and pay now to bring your warranty of your deed current. And that's not what we're talking about here.
No.
This is actual theft of property.
Yes. So we had one situation. It was not in my office, but I was informed of it through my title underwriter, actually. There was, it was a piece of vacant land in a subdivision, and no, they hadn't built on that property yet. And the seller was from out of town, and somebody contacted a realtor and said, I want to list my property, told them the property information, used that person's name because they were savvy enough to go into the land records and find out who owned that property or maybe the assessment records, but they got that information somehow and they got enough information about that seller to impersonate them well enough that the realtor fell for it, the title company fell for it, and the deed gets recorded. And they did eventually figure this out pretty quickly and were able to take some steps to hopefully remedy the situation. I never heard the complete outcome, but they were on it as soon as it happened. So there are red flags that realtors and even other people who maybe wanted to buy the property that had contacted the realtor might be able to identify. One of them is that the price is very, very low for what it should be. If you think it should be listed for $100,000 or the property is worth $100,000 and they're only going to sell it for $50,000, that should be a real red flag to a realtor or a title company or anybody in the process who could try and identify this fraud. And of course, we're all told different ways to try and identify when these fraudulent transactions might be occurring, but sometimes it does slip through, and sometimes somebody does not want to call it out because they don't want to offend the seller and say, hey, I'd really like to, if you're from out of state, we understand you can't come in for the closing, but we'd really like to do a FaceTime call with you, or could you send me a copy of your driver's license? There are ways to try and identify it before it happens. And really, seller's only defense is to keep monitoring their land records with the county. But really, as other professionals, lawyers who are working with clients, realtors, title companies, those kinds of professionals can sometimes stop this by trying to identify things like a fake driver's license or an unusual sales price, and just by asking a lot of questions.
Right. You know, I'm reading up on this. The most at risk are seniors, owners of second homes or vacant properties, especially land, mm-hmm. recently deceased homeowners, and homeowners who've paid off their mortgage.
Sure. Sure. Because a mortgage company is one of those parties who would want to be paid when the deed gets transferred. So that would make sense that a mortgage company would be in there as well. And of course, all the other parties that you mentioned would be very likely to have some fraud committed against them because they are
vulnerable.
They're vulnerable. They have other things that they're worrying about and not necessarily worried about making sure that everything is right with their paperwork with regard to their property.
So if I don't get my tax bill,
right?
That's a red flag. Yeah,
we got it.
We got the tax bill, so I think we're okay.
Yeah,
we just
red flag, absolutely.
But see, recently we had a phone call from Thailand at the office, and one of my newer agents, who knew enough to stop, come back and ask me if I thought it was a legit call. Received a call about a piece of property, vacant land, that these people wanted to sell. And they were willing to give her their passport, copy of their passport, but their names did not match public records.
Yeah. And that's a great red flag. You know, you probably were able to stop it. Now they probably went to another realtor who potentially maybe didn't check into everything, but that's a great way that you hope it gets stopped.
Right. And it, troublesome, even the whole thing, deed fraud on the rise, with a realtor is even scarier because realtors are offering credibility to the public, right? That this must be a real deal.
Yes, absolutely. But you're also, title companies and realtors all have a lot of resources, but these fraudsters get smarter and smarter every day. So, you know, we keep learning and keep reading about it and keep, you know, we have continuing education type classes to try and prevent this kind of activity. But, you know, that's one of those stopgaps. And that's why, you know, you could as a realtor, and I say it all the time as a lawyer and a title agent, I'm sorry to have to ask you this question.
Right. But you have to.
Can I get on a Zoom call with you? Can I see a copy of your driver's license? And one way that we've found, especially when we're not going to be able to meet the person in
face-to-face.
Yeah, face-to-face, is we can do what's called a remote notary session, remote online notary session, and they have a software where you get on and they have to verify themselves through a series of identifying questions like you would if you were getting a credit card. Like, do you recognize this address?
Right,
Which zip code did you use to live in? Those kinds of questions. And they have to answer all of those. And then they have to show their driver's license. And the software is smart enough to pick up all of those kinds of things. And they either verify them or they don't verify them. So that is one way that we combat it, especially if we have just a bad feeling in our gut that something might not be right. And, you know, we always hope that it is good. And we hope that this is not a fraudulent transaction. And we feel bad that we've tried to call somebody out, or maybe we didn't call them out on it, but we've asked a lot of extra questions that we wouldn't normally ask from somebody who we were sitting across the table from.
Does the title insurance have to pay if there's fraud, if there's one of these fraudulent transactions? How does the title insurance fit into this?
That's a great question. It depends on the exact circumstances, but usually that is one of the things that title insurance would cover, because it is up to the title agent to confirm that we have the right person in front of us. So, you know, that's why we ask a lot of the questions. That's why we ask them to sign these affidavits, and we have to get a bunch of information like a social security number. A lot of people don't want to give their social security number, but it's really important for us to be able to do the searches that we need to do to make sure that we verify these individuals are who they say they are.
They just keep getting smarter and smarter.
They do. There's new fraud all the time.
And they're always ahead.
And one thing, although it's not exactly what we're talking about, but one thing I like to get out there every chance I can get is wire fraud. If somebody asks you to send a wire, rather it's for an earnest money deposit or a purchase price or like us as a title company, we have money wired in and out of my office all the time. But one of the best things to confront wire fraud is to actually verbally call and confirm wiring instructions.
Absolutely.
It seems very simple. But what happens is the way that they commit this fraud is I send wiring instructions to my bank and
you
I
email
say,
it. You're emailing it.
I email it. Yes, right. Exactly. I email it. What has been happening is the fraudsters kind of intercept those emails, change around the numbers, and then put the email on its way. So when it gets to my bank looks at it and says, yeah, it looks like it came from her email. But then they have to call me. I've not had this happen to me personally. I've been involved in one situation where it did happen to someone else that I was involved with, but it is very hard to get wired funds back. So individuals very often, they're not sending wires all the time to buy a house. This might be the only wire they've ever sent. So they don't know. And of course, most title companies or real estate companies that accept wires have a disclaimer at the bottom of their emails saying, please call us to verify the wiring instructions because you want to make sure it gets where it's going.
Yeah. And nobody ever reads that. And yeah. I have it on my signatures as well.
Yeah.
Because I know that has also been something that's happening out there, not only nationally, but locally.
Yes.
I've heard a lot of horror stories. And unfortunately, people are out of their life savings.
Right. Yes.
It's devastating.
I was just dealing with somebody with a deal out of state and with the title company. And the person was like, I'm not wiring anything. Says, you're going to have to wait because I'll priority mail you a check. I says, they said, you're getting a check.
Yep.
They said, we're not doing the wire. They
absolutely
were terrified of the wire.
Absolutely. And that is a good solution. It may delay things a couple days, but it may be the safer way to do things sometimes. I actually did have a situation. It had to be maybe 10 years ago now when we weren't wiring money back and forth, but I had a client contact me. Well, now we could tell you it was a fraudulent client.
Wow.
But they had reached out. I said, yeah, absolutely, I can help you with that. Send me the retainer. They sent me a retainer and a certified check. But when I looked at it, there was a couple misspellings and things looked a little weird. I didn't really know what the check really I couldn't identify exactly what was wrong with the check. It just looked a little fishy to me. And I sent it on to my bank and they were like, oh, please do not cash that. That's absolutely fraudulent. And so, you know, those are the kinds of things you have to really watch out for. When you get a check, you should really double check it. Even if it says a certified bank check, they can make those fraudulent as well.
And didn't you just have a situation, well, not just, but maybe in the recent past, where you were able to, as you call it, claw back the money after it went to somebody? Or there was a client of yours that sent money somewhere.
Yes.
And they were they learned of this fraudulent activity that was occurring, and they got on it immediately.
Yeah.
And they were able to retrieve
Luckily.
It. Yeah.
So this was that situation I had mentioned earlier, that I've been involved in one situation that there was pretty significant wire fraud. It was a lot of money. There are companies that if you have a contact with them already, and maybe not even already because I didn't do this myself, but I was in the office with her when she was doing it, and the company was able to claw back some of that money. But there is a big process that is involved with it. You report it to the FBI, you report it to your bank, you make a bunch of different kinds of calls, and they are sometimes able to get some of the money back.
Scary stuff, Attorney Michelle O'Brien. How does someone get in touch with the Brian Law Group and Pinnacle Abstract Company and you?
Sure. Our phone number is 570-209-7901, and our email address is michelle@pinnacle-abstract.com, and Michelle has two L's.
Thank you.
Yes.
Hold on for some more Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21, Jack Ready Real Estate, and 94.3 FM The Talker. We'll be right back.
Home. It's more than just walls and a roof. It's where laughter echoes, where memories are made, and where life truly happens. At Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate, we know that finding the right home isn't just about real estate. It's about finding your place in the world. With trusted agents, unmatched experience, and a commitment to your dreams, we're here to guide you every step of the way. Because at Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate, we're not just selling houses, we're delivering the joy of home. Find your perfect home today. call 570-344-6724 or go to jruddy.com. That's J-R-U-D-D-Y.com. Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate. Dream big. Move boldly. Each Century 21 office is independently owned and operated.
We're back with more Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate on 94.3 FM, The Talker. We're with attorney Michelle O'Brien, owner of O'Brien Law Group and Pinnacle Abstract Company. Hello again.
Hi.
Thank you so much for being here today. We're talking about a very important topic that's frightening, real estate deed fraud, and it's on the rise. So the first half of the show, we were talking about who's at risk and how it works. Is there anything that someone can do to prevent it?
Sure. So the best thing you can do is sign up with your recorder of deeds office, register your name so that you receive notice if something is recorded, because that is the best time. That is probably the first time you're going to hear about it, but it's the best time to try and reverse it.
I can't believe that they don't notify you just because when there's a transaction in your name. We got an insurance policy. I canceled it, you know, for something. And they sent me two notices in the mail. You know, your insurance has been canceled. And in case you didn't get the first one, here's the second one.
Well, we record deeds and they record the same day. So there's not a lot of time to notify people, really.
Okay, so we'll go to the website, the Recorder of Deeds.
Yep. Go to the Recorder of Deeds and sign up to receive notice. One of the other things you can do is to regularly monitor your property. And of course, if you're out of state, that makes it a little more difficult. Maybe you can get a neighbor or a friend to notify you if there looks like there's some unusual activity on the property. This all requires an extreme amount of work that seems completely unnecessary, but you can monitor the MLS, you know, or listings of properties and just occasionally type in your property address
and
see if it's been listed.
Yeah.
Sure.
Because it'll come up.
So if my property comes up in the MLS, there's a problem.
Sure. unless you did it.
Unless I did.
And Google does have a thing called Google Alerts, and it'll alert you if certain phrases or things pop up on Google results. So maybe you put your address in there. There's not a great solution to this problem right now.
Right.
But really, as you said, a lot of the victims of this are vulnerable groups of people. Vacant land is a hard one. But if you talk to your neighbors and they see a sign in the ground, a for sale sign, maybe they can give you a call. But you have to be proactive about that and reach out to them. If the neighbors are there and they see that they've got new tenants moving into the house, maybe they give the owner a call and just say, hey, just checking in with you to make sure that you have new tenants in your property, or that, you know, you sold the property or something. But, maybe make friends with your neighbors or somebody in the area who can occasionally monitor your property for you.
Well, you know, credit cards, we have those.
Right,
safety,
the credit alerts, right?
The credit alerts, right? To alert us if anybody's fraudulently using our credit, right? So is there anything like a title lock service?
That I know of.
Yeah, well, hopefully they come up with it because of this.
Yeah, sure. The closest we have is that recorder of deeds
and
notice.
That's, yeah, unfortunately.
After the fact.
After the
fact. Same with credit cards, it's after the fact.
Sure.
But to jump on it early enough would be, you know, now how do we find these fraudsters? You know, they may be overseas. They may not exist at all. It may be a fake name. We don't know.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. But, you know, I was thinking we're in this digital electronic age. And I think, you know, it even got more so during the COVID years, right? So, we're so easy to email. In fact, the Scranton Board of Realtors, MLS, you can't get anybody on the phone. They want you to only communicate by email.
Yeah.
Or if you leave a message, you can't get a live person. If you leave a message, they may call you back 3 or 4 hours later. And that's just the way the world wanted to do business, and a lot of places continue to do it that way.
Yeah.
So there's mixed messages out here for folks, you know, like, what do you do? I'm a caller. I like to talk to people because, you know, you understand better than a quick text or an email.
Right. You know? Right. I mean, the electronic, the technology has improved so much that now we can do notaries online.
Right.
We record documents online. So the entire process, really, with a little bit of FedExing for the original documents, pretty much it can be done almost entirely remotely without ever seeing another person.
Absolutely. You never have to see anybody.
And Pennsylvania, if you recall, had a lot of resistance to this when we were shut down. They didn't want to allow the...
They waited a very long time.
Yeah, to allow the electronic notary, right?
Yes, absolutely. And we even had Zoom court hearings for a very long time, which was great in some ways and also not great in other ways. But almost everything went to electronic, and I think that it's possible that we didn't catch up on trying to build in some safeguards for some of this fraud. But I do know that I do the remote online notaries with some of my sellers. Buyers, if you have a mortgage, aren't allowed to sign with a remote notary in Pennsylvania currently. Maybe in the future they will be able to, but a seller can sign a deed with a remote online notary, but I actually like that process better. I mean, of course, I like to see people in person, but I love it that they have this software that looks at the ID and does the identification checks, because then I feel very comfortable that I'm dealing with who I'm supposed to be dealing with. So I actually really enjoy that process.
Well, there's safeguards on that, right?
Yeah.
So that's good.
Yep. Because if I look at a fake ID and it, you know, is an actual real ID, you know, it has the hologram in it and everything, I mean, I'm not going to know that it's not real.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Attorney Michelle O'Brien, owner of O'Brien Law Group and Pinnacle Abstract Company. How does someone get in touch with you, please?
Our phone number is 570-209-7901. And our best email is michelle@pinnacle-abstract.com. And Michelle has two L's. We are located on Kaiser Avenue in Taylor. And you can always go to our website at www.obrienlawpa.com or pinnacle-abstract.com.
Thank you. Would you come back next week?
Of course. Thank you.
Pat?
Yes. We have a two-bedroom, two-bath, totally remodeled home at 1816 Bloom Avenue in Scranton for only $150,000. This home has new flooring, new drywall, new windows, electric and plumbing, the kitchen and the bathrooms. Everything's been done. This is not some cheap flip. Quality work has been done, and it's been inspected by the city of Scranton, and a certificate of occupancy has been issued. This is a great house for not a lot of money, and it won't last long. That's a remodeled two-bedroom, two-bath home at 1816 Bloom Avenue in Scranton for $150,000, and that's listed by Kristen Baum of our office.
Thank you, Pat. House sharing on the rise for older adults. In 2023, a record high of 6.8 million households shared their housing with unrelated housemates, roommates, or boarders. And this is according to the National Association of Home Builders. While housing sharing is most common among young adults, 41% of young adults share houses, the trend is gaining popularity among older adults. As of the most recent data, that's 2023, the age groups with the highest share of sharing households were the young, 25 to 34, 23%, or 1.6 million households. Number two, college age adults, 18 to 24. You can understand that, right? That's a given. Three, older adults between the ages of 55 and 64, 14%, or 1 million households. That's doubled since 2005. At the same time, the number of house sharers among 65 plus households increased. These oldest householders now account for over a million, or 15% of house sharing households, more than doubling their share since 2005. Roommates and house sharing can be a way to offset high costs of living, the housing costs, utilities, so on and so forth, and sharing in upkeep and repairs.
I'm out.
No, thank you.
I'm out.
Yeah. I can't talk.
Yeah, no.
I can't have a conversation with my family members before my coffee in the morning. Never
Can
mind.
Can you imagine a stranger in it? Well, not a stranger, someone else. No, thank you.
Thanks for joining the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate at 94.3 FM The Talker. We'll be back next weekend, Saturday at 11 a.m., Sunday at 11:30 a.m.